Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is, as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
How lovely to be here in the presence of God with all of you this morning. Oh, Jesus, I love your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Yep, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Like pleasures that go on and on and on. They don't stop. Oh, God. Whew. Yep. Ho! I think you should just look at your neighbor and say, there's pleasures forevermore. There's pleasures in his company. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. He's got good stuff for us. Yeah. It was so wonderful singing about the goodness of God, singing about all of his character, all of his goodness, all of who he is. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. I bless you. Yeah, you can be seated if you want. Oh, no. I come from the mountains of Colorado, and I come from a tiny villages. We lived outside of, like, miles outside of a little village of 400 people, and then we actually lived in a. It was our city living. We moved into this village of 400 people. It was the big city for us. And I'd never used a GPS because there was just a road. It went up the mountain, and then you went down the mountain, and there were no choices whatsoever. And so, we didn't even have a traffic light in our entire county. And so I went to Canada one time, and I was doing a healing conference in a small city in Canada, and it was Friday and Saturday, and then they wanted me to preach in another church in another city, and so they gave me a car and a GPS. Well, I'd never used a GPS before. They said, oh, it's easy, you just follow what they say. So... I'm used to no roads, and here it's flat in Canada, and there are a million choices you can make. And so, I'm watching the little GPS, and it's showing that you have to turn on this road, and I'm looking, and, is it that road or is it this road? How far away is that little thing? And I go zooming by, and it would go, recalibrating. You just missed your turn. And, I eventually got to my destination, because God was gracious to me. But the Holy Spirit is like our heavenly GPS. But whereas in our car, we're going for a destination, the Holy Spirit's taking us into a destiny. And so many times in our finite mind, we want to know the destination. I want to be in this place. But he goes, no. I have a destiny for you, and you're living it. And every choice that we make is part of that destiny. And he's got that destiny purpose. And I can make a wrong choice, and he just goes recalibrating. Nope, their destiny goes this way now. And because he doesn't give up on us. And he's amazing. And we can, we can be going on in the momentum of our destiny, and big bomb drops. Maybe that's what happened here. But it's not over. He goes, whoop, recalibrating. Shoop, here we go. I haven't forgotten you. I have a destiny. You're called to a destiny, and that destiny is not being removed. No, I'm taking you into it. But the thing about the Holy Spirit GPS is we've got to follow his leading. Because intellectually, we can't figure out how we're going to be in the destiny of the Lord. If we were thinking of a destination, we'd make all these plans to get there. But he wants us to stop thinking about a destination and live in a destiny with Him, where we're led by His Spirit and we're moving in it. And every turn that He takes in that, in keeping us in our destiny, is part of that destiny. And every lesson that we learn along the way, and every choice that we make, you know, us living in our destiny it depends on a million different choices that we make to every response of the Holy Spirit. And when it's a body of believers, it's, you know, each one is important. And each of the choices you make following the Holy Spirit and corporately following the Holy Spirit. And so it's, you know, this is why being in the presence of God and worshiping together, it's like a heavenly tuning fork that attunes us back to His character, His will, the way He's going. And, you know, when we're on our own and we're, you know, we might be trying to figure out, you know, how this is all going to work. It's time to go, ting, you know, just come back and go, okay, You haven't forgot our destiny. You're the one leading us in our destiny. And, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't forget any of us. The Holy Spirit's leading Corey in his destiny. And it depends on a million choices he makes, as the Holy Spirit says, recalibrating. But him fulfilling his destiny right now isn't tied to the choices you make fulfilling your destiny. And that might sound harsh, but it's just your responsibility is, God, where are you taking us so that we can fulfill this destiny that you've called us to? The momentum didn't end. It's just lead us on the path. And the word that he gave me for this body this morning is breakthrough. Now, I really like breakthrough. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us around an obstacle, and sometimes we just get to go right through. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks a word like breakthrough, I just love looking in the Bible and going, okay, what does breakthrough look like to you? Because I've got my ideas, but He's got ideas. And I want to know what the Word says about breakthrough. And it's interesting because every place in the Word where it talks about breakthrough, it talks about, it's basically the image is like of a river, you know, a mighty rushing river flowing, and then it gets, you know, like dammed up with a whole bunch of big boulders thrown in, and the size of the river diminishes and gets, you know, seems to look a little bit smaller. But then God comes and he appoints breakthrough, and all of a sudden, it's the bursting forth of all those boulders and all that dam, and the flow of the river comes. I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures that have to do with breakthrough, because I really like the Word of God a whole lot. Okay, one is Isaiah 59:19. How many of you, maybe you grew up or you used to read, or maybe you still do read the King James Bible? Anybody? Anybody ever read the King James Bible? Okay, not so popular now among the younger generation, but I like the language and the poetry of the King James Bible. It uses words you never hear. One of my favorite phrases in the King James, this is an aside, it has nothing to do with the message, but it uses the term superfluity of naughtiness. I mean, that just means bad. But how to say it? That's so good. Superfluity of naughtiness. I don't know. I like it. Okay, so Isaiah 59:19, I grew up knowing it in the King James, or didn't grow up. I didn't meet the Bible until I was in my 20s. But from that point on, it says in the King James, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." Anybody ever heard that verse before? Okay, well, I didn't know anything about the Bible. You know, I had met Jesus, and all my life was being turned around, and I read this, and I thought, that's not okay. The enemy gets a flood, and we just get a flag on the top of the hill. you know, the standard, and the standard, I know it calls the cavalry in, you know, the troops are coming, but the enemy gets all the power of a flood. Well, what I did was I began to read many other versions of the Bible, and in other versions, the flood goes with the Spirit of the Lord, not with the enemy. And so what it says is when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will... So the New Living Translation says, for he will come like a raging flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. You know, breath and spirit are the same word. So this is how God's going to come. When the enemy's there, the Passion Translation, would anybody ever read the Passion Translation? It's so passionate and lovely. So it says, for he will break in as a flooding, rushing river driven on by the breath of Yahweh. Okay, then NIV says, for he'll come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The New American Standard says, he'll come like a narrow, rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. And see, what the image is that the power of the river, all the force of the river is being, you know, constrained by whatever this obstacle is, and that's what the word enemy means. The word for enemy there is narrow, tight, straits. Okay, and so this is what the enemy does. He comes and he squeezes things. He diminishes our options. You know, piles boulders in the stream. So sometimes it just looks like the flow of the river of God in your life is like a little trickle. Anybody ever felt that before in your life? Ever? Yeah. And, you know, it's the enemy piling stuff up, all this opposition, all these obstacles, but he can't stop the flow of the river of God. But what we need to realize is when my options are being diminished, when these boulders are being piled up in the way, that, you know, if I look at the size of the opposition, you know, the boulders, the things that are diminishing my options and the little bit of the stream, you know, I'm just looking at that. But what I need to do is I need heaven's perspective. And all you have to do is turn around. And whenever the river's being dammed up, the pressure behind you is greater than the flow that's coming through the rocks. Okay, whenever you need breakthrough, whenever your options are being diminished, the buildup in heaven of all the glory of God that's appointed for you, for your destiny, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the pressure is building. And God's just waiting for somebody, instead of looking at the size of the boulders and the little stream, to go, wait a minute, what's happening? Oh, whoa! And you're in a position to declare breakthrough and see all of heaven come and blast the boulders out of the way. And this is what God's appointed. He's appointed us for breakthrough. Thanks be to God who always, how many times does he lead us in triumph? Oh, it says always. He always leads us in triumph. We are overcomers. And that phrase, lift up a standard, that, you know, I was kind of offended by, because a standard is, you know, like a flag. The army's coming, you know. But it actually means to put to flight speedily like a charge of horsemen, to impel forcefully like a confined river that bursts its dam. Yes, this is what we're looking for. Okay, so... We can look at abundance and increase, or we can look at the narrow places, the straits and the limitations. But we're renewing our mind to look at heaven. What's happening in heaven? Oh, wait, the pressure is building in heaven. I want to be part of that mighty pressure that bursts through every obstacle. I had this amazing experience. I mean... Who likes opposition? How many of you love opposition? Anybody love opposition? Well, we're appointed for breakthrough and we're overcomers, and so we need to look at opposition as, wow, what an opportunity. I had this wonderful experience. I was in the Philippines, and I was teaching at, like, there were a couple of days of this healing school it was actually like a kingdom school, and there were leaders and ministry students and stuff who were coming during the day, and then at night it was open meetings where you bring the, you know, people who need healing or people who don't know Jesus, and, you know, they meet Jesus and they get healed, saved, delivered. It was wonderful. And so I was teaching in the afternoon on the authority that we have in Christ, you know, and opposition, and how we have the authority to break through opposition. And then we went out to dinner, and after dinner we came back, and it's nighttime now, and it's, you know, it's dark, but the lights are on in all the city except this one square block where this, the building, the, it was a whole Bible college, where we were doing this meeting. It was black, completely black, no power. And there are power outages in the Philippines lots of times. But, you know, we drove up, and they're planning this big event. They've got dancers and worship team and, you know, musicians and everything. Thank you. And so we pull up and we get out, and all these people are outside in the dark going, oh, oh, there's no power, no electricity, ah, what are we going to do? And, you know, I hopped out of the vehicle, and these five little tiny Filipino ladies, these intercessors, they came out of the building and they went, oh, Pastor Chuck, opposition! I went, I like you! Oh, yes! And so I took those five little ladies, we went into the building, and we just began to worship God. We walked around worshiping God, and I heard this voice in my head, and it said, ha, you're the man of authority, you can't even make the lights come on. You know, but I didn't listen to him. I just worshiped God, and we didn't worship God to make the lights come on, we worshiped him because he's worthy. And we just worshiped him, and all of a sudden, all the power came on, and we had a wonderful night. People were saved, healed, delivered. The glory of God fell. Some of the most ridiculous manifestations I've ever seen happened that night. But the thing is, you know, just I've never forgotten those five little ladies. And the delight, they were intercessors, and their delight that here's some opposition, and we get to see breakthrough. See, we want to renew our minds. Okay, there's opposition. That means we get to see breakthrough. That means I get to look not at the obstacle in front of me, but at the pressure of heaven that's building behind me, the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, all the pressure of the river of God that's full of water, building and building and building in pressure. And I get to be the person that goes, okay, this is breakthrough time, and we get to pray in and declare that breakthrough and watch the opposition be blasted out of the way. Doesn't that sound like fun? Okay, the enemy, this is an interesting thing. The enemy wants to get us to do what he cannot do. Okay, he's not a creator. He cannot create. And so he lies to us and he says things, but he's wanting us to, with our mouths, because we're made in the image of God, who created through words, he wants us to speak things into existence that he can't speak. Wow. Oh, the situation's hopeless. He wants us to say that because then we create a hopeless situation. And we've got to pay attention to the words we speak. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Okay, God says, I hold before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But I say, choose life. Everything in life is a multiple choice test. But he gives us the answer. Choose life. And so we've got to realize I have to stop agreeing with the opposition of the enemy and creating a world with it that opposes me. This makes sense, right? Watch your words. Oh, this headache is killing me. Don't say that. The enemy wants to use your tongue to create what he cannot create. He is not a creator. It's not the devil and God. They're, the power of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. They're not equal. Wait a minute. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, oh, some authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. No, how much? All authority. That means the other guy has no authority. But Jesus has delegated authority to us, his people, and the enemy's trying to get us to partner with his lies so we can give him the authority he doesn't have. And so we've got to pay attention to what we say, especially when facing opposition, because we can turn opposition into something that does not allow fruitfulness to happen just by agreeing with the lies of the enemy. He's only saying it. We can agree with the accuser of the brethren by speaking against each other or any person. You know, this guy's a liar, a cheat. You know, we create that world by judging one another and speaking that into somebody else's life. We've got to be careful about this. How many of you have ever, you know, you were going to say something, you have felt this little, you know, check in the back of your mind, and then you went and said it anyway? Anybody? I've done that, I have to confess. Hey, I'm learning to, when I feel that little check go, whoop, zoop, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to partner with the enemy to create a world that he can't create, but he wants to see happen, that's going to hinder the work of God in this world. So pay attention. We're appointed for breakthrough, not to build the lies of the enemy into a reality. Amen? Okay, so 2 Samuel 5:19 is an amazing story. We've got lots of time, right? Oh, yay. In this, David, he's the Philistines are attacking him. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will surely deliver them into your hand." And that's encouraging, right? When you go before God. This is us. What is it, 2 Samuel 5:19-20? You know, the whole of Scripture is, it's stories, it's history, it's the Word of God, and it's prophecy, all at the same time. This is a true story, but what I love to do is I love to look at the meanings of names. Okay, David was king of Israel, and Israel means an overcomer with God. Okay, that's who he calls us. We're spiritual Israel. We are overcomers with God. Say, I'm an overcomer with God. Shoo. Yes. Philistines means to wallow in the dust or wallow in self. Okay, and that's why that was the most consistent enemy of Israel, being an overcomer with God, because the opposite is to wallow. Okay, so we can face difficult situations and we can wallow in complaining and this is so bad and God, why'd you let this happen? Anybody know how to wallow? Anybody ever wallowed before? Yeah. We can wallow. Yes, we know how to wallow. I want to wallow in the Word of God. I mean, do you know what wallow means? I mean, I was a farmer, and we had lots of different animals, but one year we got pigs. We had these three little pigs. Their names were Lucy, Bilbo, and Jimmy. And they're like dogs. They follow us all around. They'd follow me. We lived in, it's called wetland, or I guess it's wetland farming, because we irrigated. We had to irrigate. If we didn't irrigate, there wouldn't be any crops. And so I'd go out irrigating with, you know, my irrigation boots and my shovel, and Lucy and Bilbo and Jimmy would come along, and we'd get to one of these big ditches, and they'd get down, and they would just wallow in the mud. They'd just get it all over them. That's what wallowing is. Okay, now when we wallow in defeat or in complaint or in the lies of the enemy, we just, you know, oh, you're just overwhelmed, and you get that sticky lies of the enemy all over you, and then you just look like and smell like the enemy. It's true. But I like to wallow in God's Word. I like to get down in the truth of God's Word and roll around till it's all over me. I like to wallow in the truth. I like to wallow in the goodness of God, in the promises of God. I like to just be like a little piggy getting down in the promises of God. Maybe we should, let's just do a prophetic act. Okay, let's stand up and we're gonna wallow. But we're gonna wallow in his love for us. We're gonna wallow in the truth. We're gonna wallow in the hope in the future and the destiny he has. Okay, just start moving around. You gotta get it all over you. You just wanna get that, he loves me. Yep, oh, he loves me. You wanna get his promises all over you. Yep, he's appointed you for victory. You're gonna get it, yeah, some of you are great wallowers. Oh man, you guys are good. This wallowing in truth. Hey, we can wallow in the truth. And until the truth's all over me, I smell like the truth. I look like the truth. It's covering every inch of my body. That's what, yeah, boom. Ho, oh, you are a great wallowing church. All right, good job. Just remember to do this often. Okay, you can sit down. So, to wallow in defeat or in the dust is the worst enemy for an overcomer with God. And so when negative things happen, when you're on a trajectory, you're in your destiny, you're going with momentum, and something bomb drops and everything's blown off the path, it's time to wallow in truth and promise and hope and the promises of God. And you just listen to the Holy Spirit, and he goes, recalibrating, hey, we're going this way. And when it's time for breakthrough, he wants you to look what happened to David. So, David heard God say, yes, the overcomers with God are supposed to defeat the wallowers. Yep, you get to defeat them. And so David came to Baal Perazim and he smote them there. Isn't that a cool word? He just smote them. All those Philistines smote. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the bursting out of great waters. Now, so he must have seen something. He's describing something. I mean, you know, he went to smite him, but it's like, you know, his army's coming down the hill, and all of a sudden the river of God just explodes and bursts. And he must have seen the enemies just like falling head over heels, rolling backwards, crashing into each other. He said it was just like the bursting forth of great waters. I mean, I want to see the movies of these things that the Bible describes. I mean, don't you want to see the reruns of Creation or, I don't know, cool stuff. Pentecost. So they named the place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord of Breaking Through. Okay, so we need to realize that, you know, the enemy coming against us is no match for the power of God, that he's appointed us for victory. And whenever the boulders are being piled up and our options are diminished and everything seems to be squeezed out. Imagine your bank account. Imagine it not quite being large enough, not quite enough zeros on the end of it for everything you need. Could happen. But the Lord of the breakthroughs wants to break through with abundance. Now, there in the world, there's a natural economy. You know, and you got what you got in the bank. That's what you have. But see, in heaven, there's a different economy. Can I tell you some miracle stories about God's provision? Anybody want to hear? So we were on a missions trip. We were coming back from a missions trip, and we had about 50 people on our team. We had like a fleet of vehicles, two Suburbans bringing trailers with all our equipment, and we had to get across the United States, and we needed $1,000 U.S. to get across with all our teams, fuel, meals for everybody. And so I'm driving, and I reach in my pocket, and I pull out an envelope, and I give it to the young man on the seat beside me. I say, hey, we need $1,000 to get back. Would you count these? And he counts them, and he goes, there are 8 $100 bills. I went, no, we need 10. Count them again. So he counts them again. I go, no, we need 10. Counts them a third time. There are 8. I go, no, we need 10. So, 4 times he counted them and there were 8. So I said, no, we need to look into the abundance of heaven. Now, I don't even know how to do that. We're looking through the windscreen down the highway. But it's a frame of mind. I don't know what it is. How does that work? We're looking into the abundance of heaven as we're driving down this highway. And then I say, okay, go ahead and count them again. And the 5th time he counted them, there were 10 $100 bills. How does he do that? I have no idea. It's called a miracle. See, in the economy of heaven, it's miracles. There's abundance. We've seen food multiply. We fed thousands of people when we made enough food for 400 people. And we're feeding 400 people, but 1,000 people show up. And so we're scraping the bottom of the pot, and I get this thought in my head, you should give smaller helpings and it'll go farther. But then I go, no, my God's a God of abundance. And so I'll put the lid partially over the pot so I don't look at the lack and limitation in the bottom, and I'll scoop out huge helpings for an hour, scraping the bottom every time until everybody's fed, and then you look in the pot and there's no more food. How does he do that? I don't know. It's called a miracle. But see, this is what we have access to. I didn't know that if I was going to go this way. Let's see, where was I going? Oh, well. The scripture I just looked at says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Ah, yay. No, I was at home one time and I had about an hour before I had to go out. And so I just laid on the couch and just worshiped God. And all of a sudden I'm gone. And I'm in the treasury room of heaven. And I know I'm in the treasury room of heaven because there are gold bricks that go from floor to ceiling and they go on forever. Now, how many of you have ever had a vision? Anybody ever had a vision? You understand how visions work? I don't. I have no idea. I just like them. And like Paul, he said, you know, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body, but, you know, I had no idea, but I'm in the treasury room of heaven, and Jesus is right there next to me. And one of the ways I know I'm in a vision is I think the stupidest thoughts. Like, if I were making this up, I would be way cooler. But I'm looking at gold bricks going on forever, and Jesus is next to me, and this is what I said, honestly. Jesus, I don't know what I'd do with gold bricks. Do you have any cash? Later, I said, I'll take the gold bricks. So he said, no problem. Turn around. And I turned around, and it was like the shelves of a library, a national library that go on forever. And $100 bills were wadded into thousands, like books on a shelf that went on forever. Just these books of thousands of dollars just forever going in every direction. And so I told him, I said, wow, I know these three guys who each need $10,000. Do you think I could get 10,000 bucks for him? Jesus goes, yeah, no problem. And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out this wrinkly old brown paper bag. And I remember thinking, that's weird. This is heaven. Don't you have anything better? But later, when I was back home, I thought about it and I went, wow, it's like I'm just asking for lunch money when you're in heaven. That's like... So anyway, we start stuffing. I mean, it's fun hanging out with Jesus. So we start stuffing thousands of dollars in. You know, we got $10,000 for each of these people into the bag. And then I wake up, I'm on my sofa in my house. So what do you think I looked for? Yeah, the bag. It wasn't there. And so You know, so I'm talking to a friend about it, and we're talking about how do you get things that you had access to in heaven? And we realized, okay, prophetic acts. You prophesy things, and you do prophetic acts. And so I took three $1 bills, which I didn't actually have any cash in my pocket, so we stole them from his wife's purse. She forgave us. We took the three $1 bills, and I took a Sharpie, and I wrote, you know, a zero, a comma, and three more zeros right after the one on the $1 bill. And so I went to each of my friends, and I said, you know, this looks like a $1 bill, but it's a prophetic $10,000 bill. So I'm going to give you this. I'm going to swipe your ATM card on the account of your Father in heaven, and I'm going to give you a Father's blessing, and God's going to meet your needs. And, I mean, they just got wrecked. Well, within 1 week, all of them got $10,000. How does he do that? I have no idea. It's not all about money. It's all about whether we're living from heaven's abundance or whether we're living from the limited options of this world. And we have a choice to step into heaven and appropriate the abundance that he's purchased for us. And, I mean, it can be in food multiplying. We've seen gasoline multiply in our car. I got... One winter, I got 320 miles to the gallon in my car all winter long. How's your car running? And there's a whole story behind it, but it's too long to tell. But we've seen water multiply when there wasn't any water. We've just seen so many miracles because we realize that, you know, it's not by our works that we've come into this great favor. It's that he delivered us from the power of darkness. He transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he's looking for a people who will turn around and look at how much is in heaven instead of the dwindling little options of what is in front of us because the enemy's putting limitation on us. We have access to more, to more. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can, you know, the boulders piled up in our stream can be sickness, disease, loss of a job, poverty, anything. Relational dysfunction. But God has the abundance of heaven that he's purposed for us. And we need to know that. And, you know, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, God said, I brought you out that I might bring you in to give you the good land that I promised your fathers, that they would live in it. Okay, he didn't just bring them out of bondage to leave them in the wilderness. They chose to stay in the wilderness for 40 years and die there. But he brought them out because he purposed to bring them in and give them the good land. Okay, he brought us out of slavery. We were slaves to sin. He brought us out by his blood, as you were sharing. The blood. Yes, the blood is a good thing. The blood over the doorposts, the blood over our hearts, the blood over our lives. He brought us out by his blood. But he brought us out to bring us in to a heavenly kingdom and a destiny and a calling and a purpose that has no limitations on it. And if we're still thinking under the mindset of this world, we're going to think in limitation. But if we open ourselves up to think after the mindset of heaven, there are no limits. And so the important thing to realize is that he's got a breakthrough into a heavenly realm. And he's got a destiny for each individual and for this church. And no matter what obstacles there are in the way, sometimes it's just listening to the Holy Spirit as he recalibrates our journey. Sometimes it's looking at what the opposition is and go, wait a minute, that's not right. That is not right for this child to be sick. That is not right for For you to have, you know, cancer. That is not right. That is an injustice. That is a violation of God's love. And I'm standing in the gap, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to look at all the force of heaven that's coming after you, and I'm going to declare breakthrough and speak healing into your life. And this is what it is. It's just an outpouring of the life of heaven coming into somebody's life in this world. And God's looking for people who will say, wait a minute, yeah, I want to be part of that. Yeah. I want to be part of breakthrough for the world. I don't know how to do it. It's a miracle. I don't have to know how to do it, but yes, I'm going to stand in the gap. And I'm going to declare, when I see a little trickle and lots of opposition, I'm going to turn around and look at heaven and go, wait a minute, there's a whole lot ready to come through, and I'm going to declare it through. Amen? And so I'd just like to ask you to, you know, if you want to be part of those kind of people, would you stand up? Do you want to be the people who declare what's true in heaven instead of what we see with the eyes? You know, this is why Paul said, we look not on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are passing away. Say, passing away. Yeah, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Yep, the glory of heaven, it's eternal. There's no limitations to it. Eternal life isn't a whole bunch of time after we die. Eternal life is a life that has no beginning and no end, and we're already in it, and it's in us. We have eternal life in us, and it's a river of life that flows from the throne of God, and there's no limits to it. The river of God is full of water, it says in the Word. And so, God, I thank you for this company of people who love you and are being drawn deeper and deeper and deeper into your embrace. Yep, to see with hope and promise the unlimited access we have to all the promises of God. Oh, wait. How many promises of God are yes in Jesus? Oh, all. You made the promises in Jesus. Stands at your right hand with his arms stretched out as if on the cross and says, yes, I paid for them to have those promises. I'm the yes to your promises. And we who are in Christ, we look at Jesus being the yes of the Father, at the promises of God. And what do we say? We say, amen. Yep, what he said. Yep, what he did. Yes, we say amen. We agree. God, we agree with you for your promises. We agree with you for the hope and the future that you have. We agree with you for a destiny. We agree with you that nothing can separate us from your love. We agree with you for a kingdom of abundance. Wherever the enemy has come in to steal, kill, and destroy, to diminish our options, yep, that you're here, Jesus, bring life and life more abundantly. And we choose that when we see diminishing options and steal, kill, destroy, we're not going to maximize that by speaking that and declaring that and creating worlds out of that. We're going to turn around and look at you and say, oh, if that steal, kill, and destroy is here, then Jesus is here, bringing life and life more abundantly. And I'm going to partner with your plan, God. How can I partner with you in your life and life more abundantly plan? Yep, we're not going to ask him to partner with us in our plan. We're going to be partners with him. And we're going to wallow in the truths of his word and realize, wait a minute, his name is healer. His name is provider. His name is deliverer. His name is wholeness. His name is joy. His name is healing. His name is good. Yep, and he's our God and we're his people. And so we're going to create worlds based on what he says is true instead of the lies of the enemy. God, help us. Yep. To let the meditations of our mind and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight. We don't want to speak the lies of the enemy and create worlds for him. No, we want to speak what you're saying and what you're doing and create a world that glorifies you, Jesus. We want to partner with you. And for everyone who needs healing in this congregation right now, yep, we declare life in Jesus' name, an outpouring of life, life flowing down through your cells activated with life, life from the Father, life from Jesus, life in the Holy Spirit. Nothing but abundant life. Yep, life is triumphant. Yep. Yep, we declare breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus. Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I just say go forth and be thrilled with what God's going to do. God, we just say to you, go ahead and amaze us with what you're going to do. We have no idea how you're going to do what you're going to do, but we say go ahead and amaze us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.